Amen. Now, the scripture that I would like to read with you tonight is from the first epistle to Timothy and chapter 2. 1 Timothy and chapter 2. It's a familiar reading in meetings like this. And we commence to read at verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who will of all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. We're on to, I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Now that's all the reading that I want to take. We trust the Lord's further blessing upon Holy Scripture. There's actually only one expression that I want to emphasize from these verses. We have a very encouraging statement that God is a God who desires that all men should be saved. So there's not a person in this area, not a person in the world, for whom God does not desire this supreme blessing. But how can a person be saved? Well, it's this next little piece of this verse that I want to emphasize with you tonight. God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So that's how you get saved. You can't save yourself. God desires that men be saved. He does the saving. They be saved. But you do have a responsibility. The responsibility is this, that you come to the knowledge of the truth. And when you come to the knowledge of the truth and recognize the truth and receive the truth as the truth, the whole truth and God's truth, God will save you. To be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I have discovered in life, it's not just as easy as it seems. When people are confronted with truth, very often, instead of coming to the truth and facing up to the truth and taking the truth for what it is, they look for reverse gear. Some of them shy away. Some of them shrink back. But maybe tonight there'll be someone here, if there is anyone here not saved. And tonight, dear friend, you'll come right to acknowledge the truth and accept it as it is. The strange thing is, there's a thing about us as human beings. There are some parts of life where we want the truth. And then there are some parts of life where we are not just fussy. If you're going to buy a new house, and you maybe read brochures or leaflets about it, you wonder, is that really the truth? And it's going to cost me a couple of $100,000, and I don't want to put that money into the house if it's not really the truth. Is that the age of the house? Is that the condition? If you're going to buy a new automobile, and you want to know, is that really the truth? Because it's going to cost quite a few dollars, and I want the genuine truth. Now, in those things in life, where $200,000 or $300,000 or $20,000 are involved, we really wish to get the truth. But then the strange thing is, when it comes to the destiny of our precious soul, we are often satisfied with less than truth. And actually, people who are not saved, they have constructed for themselves a little false word. And they live And that little false word, but let me say to you, you will never be saved until you come out right up against the truth and say, that's it. No argument. I take it just as God says it, and I'm resting there, and God will save you. I have a friend back in Ireland, and he preaches the gospel. He was having gospel meetings in Belfast, in the city of Belfast, on one occasion, and he was going around the doors giving invitations. And he called at the door, a lady came, an older lady, come to the meetings. Oh, she says, no, she says, son, she says, I'm not there. No, she says, I'm not. She was quite friendly about it, and her refusal. She says, I'm not there. Oh, I'm not there. He says, well, he says, you've been honest at least. He says, can I ask you, why would you not come? Well, she says, I tell you. She says, no problem. She says, no problem. She says, I tell you. She says, I know. I know if I went to those meetings, I would get upset. So, she says, you're doing a good work. She says, you see, she knew the truth. And she knew that at the meetings, the Bible would be opened and the truth would be expressed and expounded and proclaimed. And she didn't want to come to the... Oh no, she shied away. Shied away. Dear friend, you don't get saved without facing up to the truth. No screen. No false pretense. Well, you say, what exactly are you talking about when you have to come to the knowledge of the truth and face up to the truth? What truth? Well, truth about yourself. Just what the Bible says about ourselves. And when the Bible tells us what we are and who we are, I can tell you it doesn't paint a pretty picture. And people shy away from that, and people hold themselves back, and when they hear the verdict of the Bible that all have sinned, no exceptions, no exemptions, that we are sinners, guilty before God, no excuse to make, we haven't a leg to stand upon, people just say, I wouldn't accept that. I wouldn't accept that. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. I would say just here tonight, if there's anyone would like to be saved, the first thing that I would encourage you to do is, in your heart and soul tonight, just admit, no matter what I might think about myself, no matter how I would be classified in society, I'm going to accept it tonight as truth that I'm only a sinner before God. No strings attached, no varnish, no cover up. Dear friend, you can't get saved under false pretenses. The first thing, I know it's difficult. I know that people don't like it. We live in a self-opinionated world. We don't like anything that damages our own ego. We are all encouraged to have a good, healthy sense of self-esteem. That's the psychobabble of the age around us. When it comes to getting saved, we want to talk about getting saved. Dear friend, the first thing that has to be admitted is, I'm just before God, and what His Word says is true. I know it in the very chambers of my heart. My conscience tells me I'm not right. The things that I've done, the things I haven't done, the sinner that I am, I would encourage us all, dear friend, one of the first steps, and I tell you, it is not an easy step to take, is just to acknowledge this truth. I am a guilty sinner. That's an awful thing. Mind you, to be a member of the fallen race of Adam, it's not a flattering thing. It doesn't in any way boost the opinion of ourselves. It just leaves us completely flattened. But dear friend, you can't get saved without facing up to this truth. My need as a sinner. A second truth that has to be faced is just what we have read right here in this passage. There is one God. Now, atheism, and there's plenty of it around, it's fashionable. If you're a little educated, it's fashionable to say that there's no God. They kind of think that it shows that you're clever. People think they're brainy if they have that little bit of intellectual status to say that there's no God. Atheism says there's no God. The Bible says there's one God. Paganism says there are many gods. The Bible says there is one God. And that's a very sobering piece of truth. You put that alongside the one that I've just been mentioning, that I'm a sinner. And then, dear friend, remember, this has to be faced. You can't get away from this. If a person is to be saved, they have to come to face that there's that one God, I have to meet him. And in the holiness of his character, in the pure light of heaven, you know, the Bible tells us about this God. He is a God of love, but it does tell us that God is light. The pure light of heaven, the holiness of God's character. There's a hymn that we sometimes sing in one of our hymn books, and I think part of it runs along these lines. Speaking about the character of God, the hymn writer, he composed this verse, eternal light. Eternal light. How pure the soul must be when set within thy searching light to shrink not, but with calm delight to live and look on thee. Oh, how can I, whose native sphere is dark, whose mind is dim, before the ineffable appear, and on my naked spirit bear the uncreated beam? Dear people, let us just face this. Even those of us whom the Lord has saved, we remember a time in our life when the very thought of meeting God in our sins, having an encounter with deity, a holy God, we had to face the truth, dear friend, that we weren't ready for the presence of God. That we had no standing before a holy God. We had no hope of being in heaven. You say, but that's very tough. That's tough. It puts us down. Yes, I'm a sinner. I must come to that truth and admit it. There is one God, and I must meet him. I have to face that. Can I ask everyone here, are you ready to meet God? Have you lived your life in a kind of a false little cocoon? You've never really got down to these great realities. I would encourage you, dear friend, step out of your little dreamland tonight. Put away the little igloo. It will all melt and leave you with absolutely nothing. Oh, I hope if there's anyone here today and you have never really faced up to the great reality, the truth, that you might come to it even on this occasion. You know, I want to come to a third thing. The truth about myself. I'm just a sinner. The truth about one supreme being, God. Well, I want to come to this, dear friend. That one God whom we cannot meet in our sins, it thrills me to tell you tonight that he has made provision. There's a sacrifice. We have read about it in this passage. There is one God and one mediator between God and men. Listen to these words. I just love them, dear friend. The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. You want to know what truth is? There was one day Pilate, the day that the Lord Jesus stood before Pilate maybe with the Roman governor, maybe with a little bit of a sneer, he said to the Lord Jesus, "What is truth?" Well, I can tell you, dear friend, he was looking at truth. Standing before him, Jesus of Nazareth, God's beloved Son, the very gift of heaven. There was truth. You know, there's nothing false in Christ. And there's nothing flawed in Christ. And the very man that stood before Pilate that day, the man Christ Jesus, the personification of truth, he walked outside Jerusalem. We want to know tonight, dear people, what truth is. We were thinking about it in this very building earlier on today. Hanging there upon the cross, midst rending rocks and darkening skies, the Saviour bows his head and dies. He could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And every need that we have as sinners, that need was completely met when the Lord Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. He paid the price, he paid the penalty in full, nothing left still. Would you accept that truth? You know, I remember the night, dear friend, that I took it in. I hadn't too much trouble. I hadn't too much trouble accepting the truth that I was a sinner. And I hadn't too much trouble accepting the truth that I wasn't ready to meet God. But I never forget the night in a little bedroom in Northern Ireland. I took in the truth that upon the cross a Saviour took my place. He bore the judgment that I deserved. He answered to the claims of God. He satisfied the demands of heaven's eternal throne. And he gave himself a ransom for all. Dear friend, he gave himself a ransom for me. And the truth of it, oh, it's truth. Tell me this. Did the Lord Jesus die for you or did he not? It either happened or it didn't happen, dear friend. Did he pay the price in full or did he not? I tell you without even the slightest reservation in the corner of my heart or in the tip of my little finger, what he did upon the cross, he did it for you, dear friend. It's true. He died. He rose again. These are great truths. If you would come to admit their truth tonight, thank God you would be saved and go away from this meeting a different person. You could say, I faced up to it. I faced up to my need. I faced up to the greatness of God. I appreciate it that it's true. Oh, it's true, dear friend. It's nearly too good to be true, but it is true. That the Son of God loved me, and he gave himself for me. In fact, I was hearing there about a girl, a lady, back in Northern Ireland. She had gone around gospel meetings for years. And there were a couple of men having these gospel meetings, maybe the third or fourth week. And they were both out in the town, and they came round a corner, and here didn't they meet this girl in her late 20s. And a little conversation. And one of them, Miriam, said, you're not saved yet. Naming, oh, she says, I'm not saved. They didn't know she was concerned. She said, I would love to be saved. They said, what's the problem? She still told them. She says, I listen to you men every night. Are you just listening to this? She says, I listen carefully every night. She was a very good listener, just like the people I have before me now. And she says, both of you. She says, you do the same thing every night. And she says, I follow you. She says, you preach about the fact that you're a sinner. She says, I understand that. And the danger of dying in your sins and the Lord coming. And she says, all those things. And then you say, you both get on to the fact that the Lord Jesus died on the cross and that he suffered, he paid the penalty, he cried, it is finished. And she says, you go over that every, and she says, but I can't get any further. She says, I go every night and you go through that same ground at some stage in the meeting. My need is a sinner, God's love, Jesus came, he said it is finished, and I can't get any further. I liked what one of the preachers says. He said, the reason you can't get any further is because there's nowhere else to go. And she began to think about it. Oh, she says, right enough, there's nowhere else to go. She says, I'm looking for something beyond that. And dear friend, anything that's beyond Christ, it's not truth. If you have Christ, you have ultimate truth I encourage you tonight, whoever you are, whatever age, maybe that girl's here tonight. Maybe there's a girl here. Maybe not as old as the girl I was speaking about. Some man here, and you have gone about for years, and you just wondered, what is this and what's that, and where's where, and when's when, and how do you get it all? Listen, dear friend, you get saved when you accept truth. My need. And you'll be able to say for the rest of your life, and the sentiment will be true for all eternity. My sins deserved eternal death, but Jesus died for me. It's true. It's not you believing it makes it true. I don't like to even think about this. I don't like to think, dear friend, that you'll not believe it. But let me tell you this, even you never believe it, it'll still be true. So you'd be better to rest upon it. Don't be looking for something additional. Don't be looking for something extra. This is it. The need. Knowing the truth about myself. Knowing the truth about a supreme God. Knowing the truth about the great sacrifice that the Lord Jesus offered on the cross. And knowing the truth about the simplicity of salvation. I take Him. I trust Him. I rest upon Him. Because the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. I just want to make one other statement and then I'll finish. There was a very famous preacher way back in England years ago, a man called Ryle, who became a bishop in the Church of England in those days when the gospel was preached frequently and freely. In that institution. Anyway, Mr. Ryle, he was a man of a very faithful gospel preacher and a fruitful gospel preacher as well. Many statements he has made, I've read some of his material over the years, and I've been impressed by things that he said. The one that I'm just thinking about right now is this. He said, hell is truth learned too late. I don't want to be harsh, dear friend. I would just love that you would face up to reality. This is not make-believe. We're not talking about churning your tummy up to believe something that your mind tells you is not true. God doesn't put people into a sort of a false situation. This is absolute truth. But let me tell you this. If you shy away from it and refuse to face it on earth, it will have to be faced in eternity. And hell is a reality. And you turn away from Christ, and there's no alternative but the Gehenna of eternal fire. And what Mr. Ryle said is sadly and solemnly true, that hell is truth learned too late. Thank God it's not too late tonight. You know, I'm trying to observe as much as I can in this great country, and when my brother was coming across there, it was fierce that. We drove 540 miles on whatever day we came here. That's the length of Ireland 1.5 times. I'd never been as far in one day before. But when we got to Iowa, there, I think there was this sign up, if I remember correctly, the big sign, Welcome to Iowa. And underneath it said, Fields of Opportunity. You see here tonight, dear friend, this is a field of opportunity. There's an opportunity to, thank God, it's not too late tonight. There's still time, but the window of opportunity is shrinking. Don't presume upon it. Don't take it for granted. It will not always last. And remember this, dear friend. The Bible says God, our Savior, will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Will you come tonight? Face the facts. Face the truth about yourself. About the Supreme God. About the sacrifice for sin, the simplicity of salvation, trusting Christ alone, and the special season, the due time, the special season of opportunity. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? May God grant the matter will be settled in your soul before 7:30 as my brother preaches the gospel.